Kuzang everyone, welcome to the Rigs Podcast. I'm your host, Sonam Engdon. Few have dared to dream different and found their niche by taking the route less traveled, or in literal terms, taking the path less traversed. Our next guest is a wanderlust, hitting adventurous high notes by taking us to places in Bhutan we would not have known otherwise. We mostly traversed with her to the most remote and sacred sites in the country, even if virtually, exploring and discovering nature's wonderment, local hospitality, culture and heritage, age-old traditions and customs, all that makes us truly blessed to be born in Bhutan. In this episode, we are pleased to offer a getaway with Ms. String Denker, the woman behind Denker's Getaway. She will walk us through her journey of embracing and venturing into untested waters to pursue her passion with hopes for herself and the country. This not only requires having an outlook that goes beyond normal societal expectations and general conformity of a career in life, but also resilience to face every curveball with grace. Let's meet the woman herself. Denker, welcome to the Rigs Podcast. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you, Sonam. Thank you for having me on board. It's such an honor to be the part of Rigs Podcast. So happy to be here. And thank you once again for having me.
So Denker's Getaway is finally a startup company. Congratulations on that, by the way, Denker.
Oh God, it's such a big word to be saying company. But yeah, I'm so happy that I do have a small space to call it my office after working for last 3 years, working from cafe, working from mountains, working from literally from the car. I finally have a place. And yeah, it feels so good to have my own space where I can call it my office.
We are really happy for you as well, Denka. So if you could share something about your new establishment, how you got to this point and the plans ahead. You must be really excited, I'm sure.
I am excited, but it's a huge responsibility. Now, nowadays, when people meet me, my friends and family, they ask me like, oh, so what's your office all about? Well, I just have a few reasons of why I established my office. At first place, I thought opening office would inevitably add structure in my life. So that was the one reason why I decided to establish office. And the primary reason why I started my office is because now I really want to get into producing more digital contents, which will eventually attribute to digital footprint in the country. So I want to take it to next level because I have been traveling for last 3 years and I have been producing travel contents in the form of blog and vlog. And I have been working on my own, traveling on my own as a solo traveler. But now with my office, I also have a very talented group of people working together. We have partnered, we have videographer, we have content producers, we have production manager. So now I am looking at a very professional travel content making that would eventually bring more travel documentaries, which are very professional in country. So that was the primary reason. But besides that, you know, when I started blogging and vlogging, there was not many people who actually took up this as a career. I always wished I have some kind of mentor to whom I could actually go and talk to. But because there was no vlogger and full-time blogger, I had difficulty finding mentor, and sometimes I would feel lost. And there was almost a time where I almost gave up because I didn't know how to make bread and butter out of what I was doing. Now that I can shamelessly say I'm a little comfortable with my life, I earn through blogging and vlogging. So I feel it is my responsibility as one of the first travel blogger to be there for the aspiring travel vloggers, because nowadays we have so many YouTubers coming up, so many youths into travel blogging, food blogging, fashion blogging, and many more. So I want to be there for them if they need my help. So I thought maybe my office could be a passion house where I'm just there for the youths if they need any assistance from my side. And besides that, nowadays, so many businesses are going digital and they definitely look for promoter and marketer. So I have proclaimed myself as self-taught promoter. So I promote businesses, market, I promote and market their businesses, firms, and all kinds of products. So that sort of helps me to earn bread and butter. So for now, these are all the plans that I have under the pipeline with the new establishment.
So now that you mention venturing more into digital contents,
right,
The use of social media around the world, and especially in Bhutan, has been a contentious subject of discussion. But there is absolutely no denying that it has given wings to millions of those who have dared to dream, just like one yourself. And the emerging technologies only add to the untapped prospects for travel vloggers and the tourism industry. So what is your take on this, Tinker?
Like before, honestly, when I started to blog and vlog, I really did not think or even dream in my life that I would make my career out of this, because I did not know the potential of how this digital platform would serve me. But now, after being on digital platform for quite some time, I see lots of opportunities. So like you mentioned, it has definitely given wings to fly. It's just that we need to see opportunities. But sadly, many young youth, they fail to see opportunity. They think social media platform is just for fun. They just use it for fun. But if they really know how to materialize it, there's huge opportunity. For me, social media platform has played like an office to me. Before even having that structured office, social media was my office. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you name it. These were the digital platform that I used as a tool to sort of just show the contents that I produced, or basically to present that Denker's Getaway that is in the market now. So it played a very major role, and there's lots of opportunity. For me, being the first one, it's a little hard for, I can't confidently say I'm earning a lot directly from social media account. You know, Instagram is not paying me directly like Kim Kardashian's or any other Western celebs. Facebook is not paying me directly, but somehow I use this as a tool to market the products. However, because I have my blog website and YouTube channel, I have finally, after 2 years, 2 years, I monetized my website. So for now, I have made few dollars. It's less than $100, perhaps less than $50 in my account. So there is opportunity. I feel like we just need to work hard, explore, and get to learn of how to actually channelize these resources and make money out of it.
Thank you. So I'm sure you also check into your channel analytics that tells you about your reach. So how has it helped you curate your content?
Well, it has made our life very, very easy. Like we as a social media, I don't know, people like to call it social media influencer, but I think it's a big word. But being dominantly on social media, it helps a lot, because now with all this algorithm of channel analytics, we sort of know where to reach, who to engage, how to engage. We also know who our audience are. So the simple example is if I want to promote something, some brands or some clothes, you know, Instagram is the best place, because all the millennials are out there, like Bhutanese millennials are out there on Instagram. Whereas if you want to post a video which creates awareness, advocates, Facebook is the best platform, because we have like people from all walks of life on Facebook. So having this general channel analytics definitely helps. And like I said, it all depends on how you smartly work on social media platform.
Thank you, Tinker. And I'm sure that your travel videos have definitely piqued the interest of the locals to go on a hike or trek around the country. I personally really enjoy and yearn to go into the woods whenever I watch your vlogs.
I'm obsessed with woods.
So am I. So with the tourism sector ultimately putting up the shutters for now due to COVID-19 restrictions, What do you think are some of the ways to promote domestic tourism in the country?
The first thing is to collaborate with local travel bloggers.
Business on your mind, isn't it?
Exactly.
Jokes aside, Tanker.
Yeah, they need to collaborate with local travel bloggers, because by collaborating with local travel bloggers and influencers, it will only mean that they are supporting local people, local media preneurs. Because like I personally feel, not boasting myself, but I take this huge responsibility as a tourism student to promote my country, because Bhutan, like, we are Bhutanese and we know the best, rather than having a foreigner promote our country. Of course, the market differs, but still, then first, definitely to collaborate with local travel bloggers, because they know more. There are so many untold stories. It's just that because of lack of funding, people like us, we really can't reach out to that corner where we wish to go. So yeah, that's one thing. The second thing is, I think now with this pandemic, actually local tourism on good note has drastically increased. We are seeing so many trekkers, we are seeing so many hikers, we are seeing people going on staycations. So I think tour operators and individual guides or stakeholders should keep up the same job. And when it comes to hoteliers, I think they should also consider local market. I feel the reason why, I'm not saying hoteliers failed, but I see so many hotels being shut down, hoteliers having tough time financially. And one of the reasons why I feel they're going through this process is because they ignored local market big time. They ignored local market. So my suggestion would be to promote local tourism. They should also consider local tourists to host local people in their hotels, and treat all the local tourists like the real tourists. I mean, like any chilips. So no bias in treatment and hospitality. Other than that, for now, I really don't have any other ways to promote, but there should definitely be lots of room to sort of collaborate, communicate, and then execute things together. That way, I think it will be easier for everyone to work together, come in harmony, and promote Bhutan together.
As someone who is part of the tourism sector and the growing creative industry in the country, what are some of the challenges you face in advancing in your fields, be it in terms of policy, regulatory frameworks, or the mindset of the people? Anything?
Right. This morning, I read a news on Queensland, and it said to go to Nubtonapata, we will have to get a route permit. So far, it was for free. We could go there, trek, hike. And many people, they have been going to Nubtonapata because the landscape is beautiful. It's amazing. You won't find or you won't see the landscape that we see in Nubtonapata elsewhere in country. And suddenly now we have this restriction. And then I was asking myself, we are religiously trying to promote domestic tourism in Bhutan. And suddenly, when domestic tourism is actually working, when it's actually increasing, why would we have certain restrictions? I mean, of course, they have reasons. They might have reason to come up with restrictions, perhaps to stop environment degradation or to save our environment. But still, I was thinking it's very unnecessary. I think I'm not the correct person to be commenting on this, but as a solo traveler, as a trekker who just wakes up and wishes to go to mountain, I can't abide by having such rules at first place. And there are so many other regulatory frameworks that we sometimes go against. One time I got fined for using drone because I wasn't very much literate about the usage of drone. I did know we can't fly in certain area, but because I saw so many MTVs, few creative industry using drone. So I thought, being Genghis Getaway, being a traveler, having intention to promote country, I thought it would be okay for me to fly the drone. I flew the drone and I got fined. And I don't blame the good office for letting me pay the penalty, but I felt sad of how illiterate we are and how illiterate some, you know, I feel it is their responsibility to literate every individual's the do's and don'ts. So it's weird. Sometimes like people like me, I'm a single entity, and to sort of go against a big institution, it becomes problematic for people like me. So we do face such policy issues. But however, for now, it has been very safe for me, very safe, besides all the permits and the permission required. So far, it has been good luck. Good. And even when it comes to funding, although there was lack of collaboration before, but now people sort of know my work and stuff. So they come forward to collaborate. So far, it's been good. It's been good.
Good to know that, Tinker. And we are sure that you will navigate through every challenge with grace.
I'll never fly drone again.
So you have been trekking and hiking around the country a lot. How many Dzongkhaks have you covered so far?
I think I'm left with 3 Dzongkhaks, but I'm not in a hurry to like just go and travel to these countries. I feel the more I travel, the less I know. So I there's like so many places to go to, just like taking it step by step.
Wow, 17 Dzongkhaks, not bad. So what are some of the pertinent observations that you make about our nation and the lessons that you learned so far?
Right. Well, there are so many lessons that I learned. First thing, it's like, though we say, oh, Bhutan is a small country, small Himalayan kingdom sandwiched in between China and giant India, I feel this, the more small it is, there's so much to learn inside as we delve into the Himalayan kingdom of Bhutan. I think people will be like in shock, or in fact, they'll be fascinated to know so many things that are in Bhutan, and that sort of makes who we are as Bhutanese. I have learned how rich our culture and tradition are. There are so many rituals in country, and when I see them, I feel like I'm not even Bhutanese. So it's very distinct. There's so many things to learn and see. Even the people, even the local dialects, it's like I just thought like it could be only five or six main dialects, but as you go delve into local community, there's like different language which you might not have even heard in your life. So it is that different. It is so different. It's beautiful. The social fabrics in Bhutan is very strong. If me as a traveler, I have traveled in Southeast Asian countries, I backpacked there, and I've spent a lot. Like I spend a lot, even to buy a bottle of water, you have to spend. Like you just spend as a traveler. Whereas in country, I can bet on you. I can travel for months and months without having to even spend one nultrum. It is. That beauty, the beauty of traveling within Bhutan as a local is you can travel for free. Like really, you could work for them and they could feed you, or even without working. The people are so kind, they're so passionate, they're very giving. So Bhutanese people are very generous. And I, as a solo woman traveler, the question that I get asked is, don't you fear, because you're a woman, how can you travel alone? I tell them, being a woman, there's perks in being a woman. People feel they have sympathy, or they have this extra care. They show extra care. They show extra love to you as a woman. So I take it as a plus point, rather than being rather than considering it as a challenge. So it's very safe in Bhutan. It's very safe, that I have realized. But of course, saying like all good things about Bhutan, there are some downfalls that I've learned or I've seen, and it still is. I've noticed it 3 years ago, and when I've traveled back, I've still noticed it. Like the internet connectivity, that I work, my office is basically my laptop and my phone. So internet is so important to me. Whereas in eastern part of Bhutan, the internet connectivity is very bad. And so are the road conditions. So I always tell people, like, we always blame eastern region for not developing and not getting higher number of tourist visitation. But I feel like it's because of these basic infrastructures that we don't actually receive. So if we want to really regionalize our tourism, arrival of tourism, I think it's so important for the concerned stakeholder, the government, the locals, whoever is responsible, to first really develop these basic infrastructures. Well, besides that, I think all is good. All is good. It's so beautiful to be traveling around Bhutan, getting to know, connecting to our roots. And it is, at the same time, it's also sad to see like many old people. I love old people. The moment if I see old people, I just go and talk to them because I don't have grandparents. So I went to Dorokha 2 years ago and I came across a very old couple sitting outside their hut, like really small hut. And then I went there and talked to them. And then I was basically asking what they were up to and all. And they were in 80s and they were all alone by themselves. And I asked them, like, do you have kids, children? And they said they do. And they said that kids are in town. They love urban areas over rural areas. So it's so situation, like having seen many families like this sort of saddened me with the fact that nowadays youths, like, they're rushing to urban areas. I don't know for why, perhaps for employment reasons, but I feel there's so much of opportunity in rural areas as well. I'm someone who loves to go to mountains, who loves to be in the village, delve in local community. But I think we have more youths who love urban cities. They love to come here. So that's like sadder part that I have noticed. We have old parents at home yearning for the children to come home, but the children's here. These are some of the realities that I've come across. Otherwise, so far, I think there's so much to learn. At the end of the day, there's so much to learn. And I still have not, every time I travel, I just travel. And when I come back, I sit and then I contemplate. Like, then it's like, whoa. It's transformational. It transforms me every time I travel to places.
Oh, I'm sure. Thank you so much for highlighting some of the issues and some of the beauties that you have experienced in your journey so far. So this is my final question, Denker. As the first woman to pursue solo travel vlogging as a full-time career and someone into influencer marketing, what is your message for those who want to follow their passion and dreams?
Oh, passion. It's a big word, isn't it? Passion. I think like Bhutanese society as a whole, like when it boils down to my family, when I first came out to my father saying I want to be a travel blogger and that I wanted to follow my passion, my father raised his eyebrow. He had hiccup and he thought I would never make it. He would ask me questions when I initially started to travel, like, will you really earn bread and butter, you know? They didn't have confidence in me. But sure enough, my passion was, my passion detested whatever challenges or obstacles that I had on my way. I struggled, but I sort of made it because I had my own discipline in life, determination, perseverance, and passion. If you have determination, if you have perseverance, if you have passion in life, I think anything is possible. Anything is possible. The whole universe will work towards reaching your goal. And at the same time, we need to be very positive as well. Like, I'm someone who believes in energy. So I can literally like sense your energy. So yeah, positivity counts a lot. It matters a lot. We need to be very positive. If we think like, oh, I'm going to make it, you know, you just make it. If you say like, if you feel like I can't do this, of course you can't do it because you're thinking you can't do it. So positivity, mentality, it matters a lot. So to have a passion, it's easy, but to make your passion the dream that everybody dreams of, it takes your whole life, perseverance, determinations, like I mentioned. So yeah, you should always follow your passion. Otherwise, you won't enjoy what you're doing. Because when I started vlogging, I never thought of how I would make money. I thought of how to entertain my viewers, how to educate my viewers. So all these things eventually led me to who I am as Denker's Getaway now. So I tell people I'm a vlogger, and now I'm a mediapreneur. So this is the story of my life for now. So yeah.
Yes, Denker, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences so far. It has been really insightful.
Thank you once again for having me. It's such an honor, really.
With this, we come to the end of our short getaway with Denker. We wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nam. Thank you.